In our last meditation, we saw Ruth as a gleaner in the fields of Boaz, the mighty man of wealth in Bethlehem, Judah of Israel. He was very kind to Ruth, the Moabite stranger. He comforted her and spoke to her heart. She was invited to sit down with Boaz's reapers at mealtime, and there he gave her parched corn, and she ate and was satisfied and had some food left. In this account, Boaz is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who graciously receives all who come to him as needy sinners. He is the compassionate master who tenderly cares for all who glean in his abundant field of the Holy Bible. As we continue on in chapter 2 of the book of Ruth, we read in verses 15 and 16 that when she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, saying, quote, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. And also you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles, and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." Here we see more of Boaz's loving heart of care for Ruth. He gave her the right to glean among the sheaves or bundles, where there would be many grains on the ground to pick up. Furthermore, he told his servants to purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles which she could glean. They were to drop handfuls of purpose, or handfuls on purpose, for her. There's a precious grain of spiritual food scattered all over the Bible for us to glean. But there are also places where there seems to be handfuls let fall on purpose for our special comfort and help in times of need. The Word of God is full of such handfuls of grace, left on purpose for the earnest seeker of truth. Sometimes we find a verse or two in the Bible that just seems to suit us so perfectly in certain circumstances. It is one of those handfuls purposely placed in the Scriptures for the special help and encouragement of gleaners in the Lord's field. The Spirit of God would ever make the Word of God good to our particular and personal needs. In this way, we find handfuls purposely placed in the Bible for our gleaning. In verse 17, we read, "So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley." Ruth worked hard all day. Gleaning means stooping down and picking up single grains. It is a humbling and tiring job. So Christian work and usefulness comes only through hard work of gleaning in the Scriptures. Another lesson we should learn from Ruth is that she beat out what she had gleaned. The grain had to be thrashed out. It had to be separated from the chaff and made ready for food. It is not enough to read the Word of God and to understand intellectually its meaning and application. It must be made practically our own and prepared for our food so it can be assimilated. This would be beating out or thrashing what we gleaned. Such action suggests much diligence and exercise of soul. It means considerable prayer and meditation. The Apostle Paul exhorted Timothy, "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all." 1 Timothy 4:15. This would answer to the figure of beating out the grain. Ruth did not take home any of the straw. She beat out the grain and took home the winnowed barley. We need to beat out the ministry we hear and read and leave the chaff, but take home to our souls the real food. There is no chaff in the Word of God, but we need to chew and digest it if we would benefit in our souls thereof. The next thing Ruth did was she took up the threshed grain of the day's gleaning and went into the city and gave to her mother-in-law, Naomi, what she had reserved after she was satisfied. See verse 18. One who gleans food for their own soul in the Bible beats it out and is fed thereby. And he will have, like Ruth, some spiritual food to give to others. Ruth had threshed grain to bring forth and give. She brought home an ephah of barley, according to Exodus 16, verse 6 and 36, an omer of manna, manna was food for one person for one day, and it was the tenth part of an ephah. So Ruth had enough food for 10 people. This shows her diligence. The Lord said, quote, "Every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." Matthew 13:52. First of all, we must have a treasure of gathered food and truths of Scripture. They must be treasured up in our heart's affections, and then we can bring them forth as refreshing and satisfying edification for other believers. Ruth's kindness and activity in giving of her winnowed barley to her mother-in-law brought forth the question, "Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou?" This is a good, pertinent question to ask ourselves. Where have we gleaned today? Where have we worked today? Have we, as believers in the Savior, gleaned today in His book, the living Word of God, the Bible? Have we worked therein today? Or have we spent all the day on material things and neglected to gather some spiritual food for the soul from the sacred Scriptures? Oftentimes, the days of Christians are fully taken up with the vain, frivolous things of this sinful world that follows after its god and prince, Satan. The fruit that Ruth brought forth gave abundant testimony as to her occupation that day. Others will always notice if one spends time gleaning and searching the Bible and has personal communion with the Lord Jesus. It is recorded in the book of Acts that when the religious leaders of the day saw the boldness of Peter and John and heard their testimony to Jesus Christ, they marveled at the utterance of those unlearned and ignorant men, and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See Acts 4:13. The testimony they bore gave evidence of this. The passage in 1 Timothy 4:15 we previously referred to about meditating upon these things and giving oneself wholly to them also states, "That thy profiting may appear to all." If one gives himself diligently to occupation with the Word of God, his or her profiting therefrom will be manifest to all in wonderful testimony. Previously, we start here with Ruth now informed Naomi that the name of the man with whom she worked that day was Boaz, verse 19. This drew forth an expression of gratitude to Jehovah God from Naomi. She said, "Blessed be he of Jehovah, who has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." Previously, when Naomi had returned to Bethlehem from Moab, she had expressed bitterness as to the dealing of Jehovah with her. See Ruth 1, verse 20 to 21. Now her heart is touched by the kindness of God to her family through Boaz. She then revealed to Ruth that the man is near of kin to us and one of those who have the right of our redemption. Ruth 2, verse 20 in the New Translation. This was good news indeed to Naomi and Ruth. There was a kinsman redeemer in Boaz, the kind and gracious man of wealth who had shown such favors to Ruth the stranger. She had come to know him in a personal way by the experiences of the day. Now she is told he is the one who has the right by the law to redeem them. In our narrative of Naomi and Ruth, we need to realize that they were in great difficulty and poverty. Naomi had previously declared that she had been brought back to Bethlehem empty. She was a childless widow in the depths of poverty. Pressed by need, it seems she was about to sell the family inheritance, a parcel of land which had belonged to her deceased husband Elimelech, as Ruth 4:3 states. There was a provision in Israel that any of the family or their relatives could buy back the inheritance. See Leviticus 25:23 and 28. It would seem that Naomi, compelled by need to sell the family inheritance, hoped that one of her kinsmen would buy or redeem it. Boaz was one of the nearest kinsmen, and she evidently looked upon him as one likely to redeem it for her. This we shall see developed in the third and fourth chapter of the book of Ruth. Making a personal application of the lesson before us of the need of Naomi and Ruth for a kinsman redeemer, we would state that like them, every individual of Adam's race is in great spiritual poverty and need of soul before God. Through iniquities we have sold ourselves and become bond slaves of sin. See Isaiah 52:3 and 59 verse 2. We therefore need a redeemer who can pay the purchase price and set us free from this bondage of sin. Psalm 49:7 and verse 8 states that no man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of his soul is costly and he should cease trying forever. New American Standard Bible. Jesus is the only one who can redeem mankind, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom Boaz is a beautiful type. He is a kinsman redeemer also, for God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under law, to redeem them who were under the law. He partook of flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that is the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver him through fear of death that were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In Jesus Christ we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:14. Listener, have you been redeemed to God by faith in the divine Redeemer who gave his life a payment for your sins? Oh, please accept him